Okay, the big boom may happen almost any time now. I don't see any other way. I don't like to forecast. I don't predict. But geopolitically, it's 99% pointing toward a nuclear conflict. I don't want to say exchange. I don't want to say thermo, but it's a nuclear. Atomic weapons are going to be used. I just don't see any other way around it after all this preparing for it. Every indicator. Russia is again warning the U.S., get your nuclear weapons out of Europe. Of course, the U.S. isn't going to do that. That's not in the cards. But Putin is continuing to be the noble ambassador of global survival. Who else is doing it? They have far more than enough reason now to have engaged in major nuclear conflict. How many red lines have been crossed? The red lines are a joke now. At any rate, we're here to talk about biological weapons, which have been turned loose on the world public to the extent that 14 billion injections of the bioweapon, the so-called COVID vaccine, the COVID bioweapon, these are death vaccinations, and 700 million plus here in the U.S., and they're still giving them out. Unless your particular pharmacy has run out, people are still buying into this. It's mind-boggling. After 3.5 years, almost four, of obvious death and severe injuries, and I mean severe, to this weapon, these people just, they don't want to face reality. They still trust their doctor. They trust their government. Hello there, young lady.
Hello.
Yes.
Happy Wednesday.
I'll
or
take
is it
your
June,
word for
June,
that.
Juneteenth? What is it? It was a holiday
don't use
today.
Don't use that word on this program. Sorry. That's a fraud. When you think about that, there's no holiday for landing on the moon. We didn't land on the moon, but it's not in that sense of the expression. Well, I think we landed later, but we had to win that. It was Cold War. There was everything on the line then, so it was a Stanley Kubrick production. That's my view of it. So, yeah, we're in real trouble here. And you just looked at a book? You might want to comment on that, because it just briefly, it's a very important angle that most people never understand. Most people don't believe that they would use a biological weapon, a deadly one, on humanity. It's a done deal, friends, done deal. And that doesn't even mention the bioweapon virus, which we think now could be part of a binary that works in some kind of synchronicity with the actual bioweapon injection. There are all kinds of very stealthy, very tricky things going on here that we still haven't been able to quantify or qualify. We're trying, but some of it is just science fiction. What did you
tell
me about
that
book?
When you look at this virus, I think, you know, we were kind of lulled into thinking that it was a nothing burger, right? Unless,
yeah,
you know, you were one of the unlucky ones. And, you know, it certainly hit the older people very hard.
It's just like getting the flu or a cold or whatever, and it went away. No. Oh, no.
Well, and it seemed as though, you know, I look at a lot of the people that didn't get the vax or the injection, and some of these people are horrendously sensitive to shedding. And then I look at people who did receive the injections, and then when they get COVID, they are really knocked for a loop. I mean, and then they seem to get repeated bouts of it. So I do wonder if it's working in tandem. You know, if you get one,
right?
Let's just say you got the injection and you haven't had COVID yet. You're going to think, yeah, you're fine.
It's a possibility. It's certainly
unless you're one of the unlucky ones that had a reaction right away. But you could be lulled into thinking you're fine until you get the virus, and vice versa.
Or
you
could be
had
shed
the virus
upon
and got over it and then got shed upon. You know,
there
some
you
of
go.
These people are having real issues now, and they did not take the injection. Now, did they get another bout of the infection, the virus? Or are they simply reacting to the spike protein that's being shed and, you know, contaminating the environment now. You know, we don't have the test to prove any of this. You just, you know, you have to go off observation. But I tell you what, there's a lot of sick people right now. A lot of sick people, a lot of clotting, a lot of seizures. You know, and the cancer is just exploding.
And let's not exclude this at least a minor pandemic of CJD is in the works.
Yeah, well, we have amyloidosis. I mean, we're having children being diagnosed with amyloidosis. I mean, that used to be an old man's disease.
No, that's crazy. Look, I think this thing is far more diverse. We've said it for years. Far more dangerous than the average person would or could understand or accept. And that's part of the psychology. Every bioweapon attack on anybody has a psychological background to it, a plan. There's something appurtenant to it that is critical. And they understand how people are going to react. First thing they do is denial. Unless the symptoms you're generating from having been injected are not ignorable, like you're paralyzed or you're brain dead.
Yeah.
You can't ignore it. There are more people out there right now who are seriously and severely ill than I think even many of you who are extremely well-informed would understand. These people are, remember, a lot of them are asymptomatic. These things are working in the background. The body is a magnificent tool. It can hide and sequester things that are constantly growing and moving around and doing damage in your body, but you won't necessarily notice it. What we often hear from people is that, I had the virus, I had it a couple of times, I've never felt right since then. We've heard that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's suggestive of what? It's suggestive of things that the virus has done to people that is at least semi-permanent.
Yeah.
It's long term.
You know, and there's really quite a lot of discussion now about this class switching of antibodies where, you know, initially you have high levels of IgG. I think it's 1 in 3 when you're exposed to a virus, and those should be neutralizing antibodies. But then if you're repeatedly exposed to the virus or the protein, and you're chronically infected, you get a class switching to this IgG4. And many of the vax injured have that high levels of that protein, and it's deleterious because it changes the way the immune system works. It tells the immune system to stand down.
Right.
Which
nothing
is,
going
you know,
on
if,
here.
If you're confronted
just,
with the virus, well, you're not going to... You're not going to pay much attention to it at first. It's going to have to get into you and probably replicate to very high levels before the body notices something.
Or admits to something. How's that?
Yeah, and then does it have the reserve to, you know, extinguish it? Or is it just going to let it replicate? But that's across the board. That could be any latent virus that, you know, a person has. And that's why I think we're seeing this explosion of all of the herpes viruses. You know, you've got herpes simplex, you've got the shingles, you've got Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus, you know, and that could be a cause of a lot of the headaches. CMV
is, that's right.
And then you've got HHV6, which infects the endothelium.
There are at least five or six versions of HHV6.
There's HHV6, there's HHV5. I mean, there's 8 different herpes viruses.
Yeah, but I mean, within that 6 designation, there are variants.
No, this is just one HHV6. But you don't hear
sure?
a lot of that. Yeah.
Well, some
of
the things I read come from skeptical sources, so thank you for clarifying that. Okay, very good.
No, that's one of the 8 herpes viruses, and it infects the endothelium. And, you know, if you're normal and healthy and have a competent immune system, it's not an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, we get exposed to these herpes viruses routinely, and if you have a competent immune system, it's not an issue. But, you know, now you throw something like this into the mix, and, you know, the door's open.
Right.
And a lot of people are struggling with this Epstein-Barr right now. It's, you know, they can't seem to put it back into its quiescent state.
What worries me, maybe the most right now of many things that concern me, are the the prions caused it initially by the spike. And remember, those prions that are created, the misfolded prions by the spike, go on to misfold other proteins of any kind in the body. It's a cascade, and it goes in any direction it seems to want to. These people have CJD. It's pre-symptomology. They're not diagnosable. And I'm thinking that this is one of the big cleanup factors. They're going to take a lot of people down with this. People don't have any real symptoms yet. Oh, they get a little foggy, brain fog, a little forgetful, and then it gets worse and worse. And it ends up being diagnosed in many cases as CJD, a condition that used to affect 1 in 1 million people on average now. And we got a big organization about that, groups online. Here are some quick headlines. I'm going to bring Nurse Ann on here. We've been saying for years here the same thing. A new study has said that the spike and the mRNA make people retarded. It damages their brain. It can kill the brain. We know that. And that has to do with what I was just alluding to, prions. This is, again, something that's just not talked about. It's too horrific. If a prion gets into your body, one prion, and starts a cascade of misfolding prions that end up in the brain or any other organ, but specifically the brain, you're toast. It may take a couple years, but that's a death sentence. Understand that. And it could be theoretically, from one spike could do it, could start the cascade, theoretically. And if you're around people and you're being shed upon and you're getting tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of spike over the weeks and months you're around these people who have been shot up, do the math, okay? Just do the math. All right, here's another one. Spike protein induced heart failure. We've spent a lot of time on that, how the heart just shuts down. And this particular article has to do with the upregulation of IP-10, CXCL10, and it's pulling T cells into the heart. The T cells go after the cells that have spike in them. They're recognizing the cell is now damaged, and they go in there to try to clean it out. They destroy the spike, kill the cells, but they end up killing the heart cells too. And the heart and the brain are two primary organs in the body, the most critical, and they do not generate new replacement cells. Other organs do, but not the heart and the brain. So there's another one. Mike Yeadon is back pounding the drum again, saying that COVID jabs, the bioweapon injections, were designed intentionally to harm, maim, kill, and reduce human fertility. He's absolutely correct, 100%. The bird flu issue, will they or won't they? They're already. They've done everything they can to stage for an outbreak of avian influenza. It's ready. A story here from SHFT or TF, shit hit the fan. Bird flu now running rampant in U.S. dairy cattle. This is another appendage in the war on food, is what it basically is, among other things. And then the overall look, people exposed to mRNA in the injections and maybe by shedding are more likely to die. And there's many more. These are just some of the stories we have up there for you. There's a lot going on, and it's being basically ignored.
It sure is. People
think life is relatively back to normal now. You see them out, and no masks, and just no gloves, and we do our best here, and a lot of you out there to be really, just know you're appreciated. I know many of you have tried to spread the word and use these programs to the best of your ability. If you've got someone who will meet you halfway, sit down and play a program for them. Pick the one you want and say, I want you to listen to this with me. And have them just exposed to it. Sometimes from a tiny seed, a giant oak will grow, and that's the way you have to do it. Anything you want to add to this?
No, I couldn't believe the number of people who were out today. I hadn't I was oblivious to the fact that it was a holiday. But all I could think of is, wow, we have one hell of a leisure crowd these days. You know, people coming and going from the beach, and the traffic was awful. And I couldn't believe it.
June, you know, this 10th. Is June 10th. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah, I found out much later. Right. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. You're right.
You know,
I mean,
the truth? You know the truth about slavery? 25% of blacks in the colonies, 25% of the blacks in the colonies owned slaves. The first black in the colonies to own slaves and went to court to make it legal was a black. One out of 350,000 whites owned slaves. That was it. So the truth about slavery is just not known. If 25% of the slave owners were blacks in the colonies, nobody knows about it. Mm-hmm. And yet they're screaming for reparations. What a joke. Unbelievable. All right. Let's bring back our heroic frontline fighter, our colleague, our friend, your friend, representing the highest ideals of professional nursing and concern for her fellow human being, Nurse Ann. Hello, Nurse Ann.
Hello, Jeff and Erica.
Hi, Ann.
How are you?
We're okay.
How are you?
Yeah, hi, that's the question.
Well, this week has been a bit of an emotional roller coaster.
Todd, would you turn Ann up for us, please, a little? She's a little low on my end, at least. Maybe she's fine everywhere else, but if you could turn her up. Go ahead, Ann. Sorry.
This week was an emotional roller coaster, only because I ended up getting floated to a different unit, and I was, like, very upset that I had to go to a different unit. And but it must have been a meant-to-be situation.
Would you explain that, Ann? I'm sorry. I want our listeners to come right along with you. Ann worked in a unit, a particular unit, and she got moved to a different unit. All right. What unit were you working in? What unit were you in?
Normally, I would work the neuro ICU unit.
Yes.
And that would be my unit.
Okay.
But that particular night, they needed a nurse to be floated to a different unit. And the unit was like a med-surg heli, more surgical patients as such. So I was floated down there to that unit. And I was really upset because I didn't want to go, for one, because I had known I had a patient rapport with my patients on my unit.
Yes.
But I ended up going, and it must have been some higher power working, because I got report on one patient that I had to take care of, and it was very near and dear to my own heart. And so the story starts out with, this patient is only 50 years of age. She's a nurse herself. She works as a case manager for health insurance. And she's the mother of a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. And she has, I don't know if her husband passed away suddenly or what happened, but she's now engaged to another man. And then her story starts with, she tells me she started having pain in her right breast and her radiating down her arm for a few months. And she kind of pushed it off. She didn't get it checked out. And it persisted. So then she started to get a little bit worried because the pain wouldn't go away, and the pain was the biggest issue at the time. And there's no history in the family of cancer here, none on her side at all, not on her parents' side, nothing.
Now, this is a 50-year-old professional nurse who was in there.
Professional nurse.
And you were switched down there, and you're taking care of her. Okay.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so she tells me she received 3 Moderna shots because her workplace had mandated it.
Yeah.
And then that's when it all began for her. Before that, there was no previous medical history on her chart. She was a healthy individual. She took great care of herself. She was in great shape. Mm-hmm. And so there was no reason for her to ever be in a hospital.
Right.
And when I was given the report, they tell you the patient's name, and they tell you the doctors who are following them, and then they tell you their code status. And so, obviously, being a 50-year-old, healthy-year-old nurse, up till this point, she's a full code. But I'll tell you further on in the story that I saw a note in the chart regarding her code status. So she presents with weakness, and now she's got this huge, huge wound on her right breast that's got scarring, drainage, it's red, it's purple, it's yellow, it's draining blood, you name it, and it covers the whole entire breast tissue.
Okay, now you, hold on, if I might. This is a wound that just, in other words, it burst out of the breast. It wasn't a surgical wound. It was something that generated.
Not a surgical wound. No.
Okay.
Not a surgical wound.
I've seen that once, and it is horrific. Yeah. I understand. It bursts right through the skin.
This is my second time now seeing it in yet another young woman.
Yeah.
And it's incredible how horrific it is. I was more prepared this time. The first time I saw it, I was in total shock. This time I was ready.
Yeah.
But so I'm brought down to this unit, and the nurse tells me I have a wound on my breast that the dressing hasn't been changed in a week. Wound care was meant to come and consult on how to do the dressing changes.
A week?
I know. A week. I was mortified, absolutely mortified. So I said, do you mind if I take a look at the wound and then can I redress it for you? That's what I said to her.
Yeah.
So she said, yeah, go ahead. And so I started to take the wound apart, and the smell was incredible. It was the smell of like dead, rotting tissue. It hit me like a ton of bricks.
Is this necrotic tissue, or is it worse? Is it gangrene at this point?
It's not gangrenous tissue at this point, but there's a lot of discoloration.
Oh, that's horrible.
There's a lot of, the blood started seeping as I took off the dressing. And she said, I can't look. She didn't even want to look. So she turned her head away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I changed the dressing for her. And then I asked her, could she tell me what were any of the other symptoms? And she said that she started to have weakness and her right arm. So I suspect it's probably, and it's gone to the lymph nodes at that point.
Yeah.
So on the diagnostics that they had done on her, they had done, she came in with weakness. They did an MRI to rule out a stroke, which was negative. But the MRI showed a brain lesion on the occipital lobe. So she has a lesion. So the cancer already has metastasized. And then also they found on the spine, they found other lesions on the spine, on the CT. So they had, when I had her, they had just done the biopsy of the spine to find out how to stage it. And then she was exceptionally weak, so they knew that she wouldn't be able to tolerate treatment, cancer treatment at this point.
Right.
They felt that she wouldn't be able to handle either radiation or chemo.
Right.
So the suggestion was to try and get her strength back by sending her to a subacute rehab to work with her to try and get her to get that, you know, get her strength and function back. So that ET was coming in, both me working with her for about an hour at the hospital. The day I met her, she had seen them all at once. So she says, "I'm just laying here. Nobody's doing anything." And you could see she's terrified and frustrated. And she doesn't know where to go. She's not an oncology nurse. I confessed to her, I said, "I'm not an oncology nurse either, but I will do whatever I can to help you." So I said, "What have they discussed with you at this point?" And she goes, "They're talking about sending me to a subacute rehab to get stronger and then go to a cancer treatment outpatient. That's the plan." However, that's what they said to her. But they contacted the cancer treatment center, and they also put in a palliative care consult on her. So it was almost like they had already signed off on her, that it was already a no-go. That they basically were thinking, the cancer had gone too far, we're not going to get anywhere here. So get the palliative care consult in and see what they say. So I never told her I saw the palliative care consult on the chart, because I didn't want to just overwhelm her.
Understood.
It would have been too much to take in.
And we need to tell our listeners, so everybody understands, what palliative care is, simply. What is it? It's no more aggressive protocols. They're just going to try and make the patient comfortable and stabilize her. That's as simple as I can make it.
Correct. Yes.
All right.
And so there'll be no other aggressive treatment to try and find a cure.
Right.
Or to try.
Did they talk about mastectomy and lymphectomy?
No, that was not discussed. That was not discussed. However, I actually discussed it with her, because I had my own personal ordeal with cancer a few years back in 2006. So they were very aggressive with me, and I fought them tooth and nail. And they wanted to do actually not just a mastectomy, a double mastectomy. Yeah. And I fought tooth and I would not do it. And it was I was trying to fight while I was weak, in a weakened state, which was the worst scenario a patient can be in, because, you know, we are the experts, you listen to us. And, you know, I remember one oncologist saying to me, "The nurses are the worst." That's what he said to me when I fought him back. And I never will forget this experience. So it was very near and dear to my own heart when I walked into this patient's room. So I told her, I said, "Listen, I hope you can have an open mind." Because it was a very big gamble. I wasn't sure how she was going to take the news I was about to tell her. So I said, "I hope you have an open mind. I'm going to tell you something, and it's up to you. But at least it's an option. So you decide what you want to do." But I said that there are places in the country right now that are using, within the chemo treatment, a medication called Benbendazole, and it's the medication that's normally used. The common name is Pancure. It's normally used to treat parasites in pets. I said, "If you have a pet, you might have been familiar with it." She said, "I have a cat, but I never actually have to use it." And so I said, "They're finding that this particular medication is targeting the cancer cells, and people who have had issues with this cancer and have actually had stage 4 cancer and have been given the kiss of death have beaten it by following a certain protocol using this particular drug." And I said to her, "I don't know if this is anything you would like to pursue, but if it is, I'm more than willing to do the extra work to get you the information." And she started crying, and she said, "You're the only one who's willing to help me."
Well, bless you, Anne. Once again, this is another story of what nursing used to be like, much more than it is now. Go ahead, please.
So I said to her, I said, now, by talking to you, how is your fiancé going to feel about this? Because is he going to feel differently? Because I've had my own battle with this where I was on one side of the fence and my husband at the time was not. And so we battled it out together, and he wouldn't back me up on what I wanted. So I said, how do you think your fiancé is going to feel if you take a direction that the doctors are going to try and tell you is ludicrous and probably won't work for you? Oh, and she goes, I think he'll be on board. And so I said, I would recommend you discuss it with him, but I'll get you the information. And then I said, it's a lot of information. I have to get in contact with a bunch of people to get it, and then you'll have to follow the protocol. There's some case studies I can send to you tonight, and you can read up on them, and then you can follow those protocols and then go from there. But the one thing I did ask her was, if you pursue it, don't tell anybody you're doing it, other than your fiancé.
Absolutely right.
And you cannot talk to any of the medical people here.
No. I just sent you again the Tippins fenbendazole ivermectin protocols. I think you already had it, but I just sent you the file again. And for what I'm trying to do, and you people who have written in and asked for the file, it's the same thing Kelly has, but I've added a couple more things to it. If you want to write in, I will give me a little time, and I will get it sent to you. And it's just an edited assemblage of the Tippins fenbendazole protocols, and you make your own decision. It's got videos in there and all things. The path to follow is not hard. It's just opening your mind to the simple fact that there are other ways other than traditional oncological approaches to dealing with cancer that have been phenomenally successful in some cases. I am not suggesting this will work for everyone all the time, but it has worked for a lot of people much of the time, and it's phenomenal in that regard. I don't think normal oncology can point to such a track record as this. Go ahead, please.
So this was exactly what I had sent. This protocol that Kelly Nelson had discussed. And I had told her, I said, that read the case studies. The actual case studies actually show that a man who had stage 4 lung cancer, actually, who was actually given the kiss of death, actually got rid of all of his cancer completely. And they did MRI, and it left the physicians baffled as to his case. He was in a clinical trial, and I told her that in his clinical trial, there was like 1,150 people. After they had confirmed that his cancer had been cured, he asked for how many was actually in the study that he had been involved in with the clinical trial. And they said 1,150, but you were the only one who beat it. Well, the only reason he beat it is because he had followed this other protocol that they had no knowledge about. And he never disclosed it to them till after the fact. Now, doctors are now made aware of it. But do you think they're actually using it?
No.
I don't. There's not too many people using this protocol.
No. Well, so that's a very, very good thing.
She went to her fiancé and has discussed it, and they're both in agreement.
Good.
They're already started the protocol, by the way. You should know that.
Good job. All right. Well, this will be interesting to follow, and let's hope it's one of the cases that it turns it around. We're not here to prescribe. We're here to offer information so you can make the decision you want to make. It's your body. It doesn't belong to the doctors. It doesn't belong to oncology. It's your body. You decide. And you know their track record. So this is new. This is a remarkable. The whole Joe Tippin story is amazing. So we'll send it out to you. I've sent out, I don't know, at least 100 so far. But we'll keep doing it. So Very good, Anne. Well, we would expect that from you. You're
yeah,
an amazing
so she
person.
Did follow up with me. She did tell me that they are sending her to sub-acute rehab. Her fiance has already tried to put an order in for all of the medication that he needs to get.
Right.
And
it's not that
I
hard to do. We want people to understand that. It's not that hard. It's a simple procedure. You just have to acquire the issues involved and take them. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. And in fact, he went out the next day and bought a bunch of Ancure and brought it in. And the next night, I was on my own unit, and I went upstairs, and she said, I already got the Pantheon. I already started taking it at noon today.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. So, but she's going to a rehab facility, and they are going to go from there. I asked her if she would kindly stay in touch with me to follow with her success of this story. Now, where it goes, you know, hopefully we're not too late in this scenario, but based on the previous story where the guy had stage 4 cancer and he got completely rid of the cancer.
That's right. That's
I can
true.
Only hope and pray it's going to be a good turnout for her, too.
Well, we join you, and I'm sure many of our listeners feel the same way. Many of our listeners have cancer. Is it turbo cancer? We don't know, but probably in some cases, yes. This is these injections, and more, we're looking at shedding as being an ignition source for turbo cancer, turbo CJD, a lot of things. And remember, everyone who's been injected has very little immune competence left. It's just way down there. Plus, their blood is now sludge blood, and their poor hearts are working double and triple hard to try to move that crap around through their system. It's just whoever and whatever designed this weapon knew what they were doing. Boy, did they. They didn't miss a trick.
Well, they had a long time to work on it.
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
The other thing with this patient, which was very traumatic, was that she confessed that she encouraged her kids to get the vaccine as well. And she was absolutely devastated.
Heartbreaking.
And she said, do you know what it does to the kids? And I told her, I said, the only thing I can tell you is that there's a couple of radio programs that are worth listening to. You'll get information. There's websites out there. There's people that you can contact. I'll get you the information that you need right now. But, yeah, you need to watch to make sure your children haven't started to show symptoms or if they are somehow affected as well. But I said, now you have to focus on yourself because she had no energy. She's in a very weakened state at this point.
Well, I have the complete file, and I've sent out a lot of them, so we'll continue. But please remember, we're not here to prescribe. We're here to offer you information for you to make your decisions. You have a God-given right to know all the things that are in this little package of information. It's not that big. It's wonderful to read. It'll give you hope, if nothing else. And even if it only turns around some of the cases, it's got a hell of a lot better track record than traditional medical intervention and so-called treatment. That's the way I see it.
Yep. That's the way it is. Yeah. So, and then I have another case, and this is a young 42-year-old. And he, in his case, he was out golfing, and he passed out on the golf course. And he came in to the ER with altered mental status, was his diagnosis. He had an MRI done that confirmed he had a left MCA, middle cerebral artery stroke. And he had also been found to have right lower extremity DVT. And so he...
Right, what is it? What is EDT, Ann, please?
DVT. That's the deep venous thrombosis, which is basically...
DVT. Okay, you're a little bit fuzzy. Yeah. DVT, got it.
Oh, yeah. DVT. Yeah, it's basically they're saying, they're calling it a blood clot, basically. Yeah. So he was put on heparin, and every night I've had him, I've had to go up on the heparin every single time. They do, every 6 hours, we do blood levels to see how well the blood is thinning out. And every 6 hours, we've been increasing the heparin drip. Steadily.
Is it working at all? Does he have a jelly blood clot, or is this amyloid?
Oh no, this is definitely amyloid blood.
All right. Well, this heparin isn't going to do anything.
We do all his blood work every morning at 4 a.m. And as well, we do all of the blood work, all of the like the CBC, and which is the complete blood count, and then we do his BMP, which would look at his electrolytes and potassium levels and magnesium levels and all of that. And then we do his blood clot tests, such as his PT and his PTT. And the PTT would always inevitably come back where we needed to increase the heparin drip because obviously his blood wasn't thinning out enough.
Not working. I'm going to say something here that I think many of you listening would agree with. I've had four surgeries on my right knee. I have a very bad knee. It was supposed to be replaced 20 years ago. I just don't want any more surgeries. Four different doctors, oh, we can fix your knee. I destroyed my knee in a basketball game. But the point is, when you wake up after surgery in a hospital and you are in pain, and you don't even know where you are in some cases, and a nurse comes in, and even just the sound of her voice is like an angel. It can be that important to someone who is suffering. And the care and the concern, and that has to come from the heart, from the nurse. It's not a contrived thing. And Nurse Ann has that. And I don't know how many nurses really, I know their motives in most cases are that. They're good. But I was never more happy to have someone who cared about me in the condition I was in. I was in a lot of pain. So Ann knows that, and many of you know that. And a good nurse is worth her weight in gold, in my view. A caring soul, a kind heart. So
you have to be careful, though, because if you stick your neck out too much, you have to make sure you're telling the people who are going to receive the information well.
Yep.
And that's the other side of the coin. But so this young man, he's basically got a really bad stroke where he's not able to speak. And it's very
frustrating. How old is he again, Ann? How old, please?
42. 42.
Oh.
42 years old. No prior history at all. And now he's going through the gamut of tests. They basically put him through MRI, CAT scan, carotid Dopplers, hematology's on his case. He's basically started out on heparin. The idea is that they're going to bridge him over to a blood thinner called Eliquis, which is not going to do a darn thing for this poor man because it's an amyloid clot.
Nothing.
And he'll be put on aspirin. And then the kicker is they put on they suspect he has high cholesterol, so they put him on high cholesterol medication as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually, there's no justification for it. He doesn't have it and he doesn't need it.
Well, and his body has to deal with the side effects of that medication.
He'll have to deal with the side effects of that medication. And I actually did tell him that. I said, if you don't have it, you can argue your case as to why they're putting it on your chart. And if you don't need it, don't take it. And if anything, I told him, take Nattokainase if you can. If that if it is a true blood plasma, we all know it isn't. But if it is, natokinase would be the one that I would suggest. An aspirin.
Are you seeing, and here, I've got to ask this question. Are you seeing or hearing about people being given the bioweapon injection against their will, without their knowledge, in the hospital? Are you hearing anything like that? That's
no,
been reported
no.
to us. All right.
No,
good.
When they come into our ER, they're asked if they've received this. That's the first time they're asked. The second
right.
time they're asked is when they come up to the unit. We, as the admitting nurse, because if we get them as a new patient, we, as the admitting nurse, would have to ask that question, as because it's part of the, and it's part of the whole. It's the computer will not let you go to the next page unless you ask them questions.
I see.
And then it's specific: was it Pfizer or Moderna, and how many shots? You have to fill in all of that before it'll let you go on to the next screen.
Right. And one other question I need to get in here. Many, many times, Erica and I hear stories. We read stories about people brought in, worked up, given all the battery of tests, which almost, in many cases, I don't want to say all, but in many cases, the tests come back negative. They're not looking for the right things.
No,
the tests
not looking
are
for
negative.
The right
things.
No.
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 Erica, jump in here, will you, if you got any questions? We're running out of time.
Oh, I don't know what I can add. It just confirms things I'm observing from this end.
Right.
It's just tragic that it goes on and on. No end in sight.
No.
Yeah.
Are you getting...
There's one other,
Ann,
there's
go
one
ahead.
Other final tip, Jeff, that's kind of an interesting one, and that he had all of the stuff. Like, he had all of the equipment that he needed to have, but it wasn't working, and he ended up coming into our hospital anyway. This guy had a fall, ended up hitting his head, and ended up with a subacronoid hemorrhage, which is a blood in the brain. But what they sent him down to the CT, he coded in the CT room, unresponsive, no pulse. They had to actually do a full-on code on him in the CT room. The guy had a pacemaker. He was brought to, the pacemaker failed. He was brought to surgery right away, put in a new pacemaker that night, right from the CT. And he was doing fine up until he had taken the last injection. He said he had a vaccine 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
There you go.
Oh. He just told you that recently.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago. See,
2 weeks ago,
we did,
he went and had his vaccine. And,
we did
and
some
then,
research with pharmacies a few days ago. We called several. And Walgreens, is when they have the stock, they're still giving out 100 a day on average. 100 a day.
Yeah.
Now, this guy, 42 years old, is being treated for a normal blood clot when he's got amyloid clots, so the treatment is useless, worthless. He's being treated for, some cholesterol disorder that he doesn't need and doesn't have. So he's being misdiagnosed and mistreated on two counts right there, and those drugs are not, they have side effects in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. And he's had three shots, I think three shots, you said, and he just got another one 2 weeks ago. Unbelievable.
Is he making the connection? Does he know that
he can't talk, right?
With him, he didn't make the connection. And I felt I couldn't tell him outright myself. I felt like he had bought a hook, line, and sinker.
No, you did the right thing by not talking.
Yeah.
You can't.
I,
no,
I,
you
I,
got to pick
yeah.
your battles very carefully. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
wow.
I mean, unfortunately, I'll help whoever I can help, but I also have to be very careful who I share the information to.
All right. We are out of time. God bless you, Anne. for what you're doing.
Thank you.
And we mean that. You are truly a saint, and there aren't enough of you. These people they're bringing in from Haiti and the Dominican Republic with they can't even read an EKG. Come on. Jesus, we're in trouble. You better have an advocate, friends, if you're headed to the hospital. We've said this many times. And thank you.
I'll keep you posted on the young lady, okay?
Yes, please.
That would be great.
All right, well, we'd love to have you back anytime. Just let us know.
All right. Thank you very much, and good night.
Okay, good night,
night,
Ann.
Well, she's a great lady, and it's too bad all nurses aren't like that. It was never going to happen. The quality of nursing is in decline.
Well, there's still, you know, a few out there that are awake. You know, they know what's happening.
I mean, this poor guy, three shot, just had another shot 2 weeks ago. Jeez, I can't believe it. And he's being mistreated twice on two counts. Wrong blood clot type treatment will do no good. And the cholesterol.
Well, I mean, it's all theatrics at this point.
Thank you. Good word. It's exactly what it is. Theatrics and billing. Billing.
That's right. That's
boy,
right.
Do they bill. Who was it that had... It was Tippins. He had $1.2 million of treatments in
that's
hospitals.
Right. Yep.
And he was dying. Gone, done. Sorry, we can't do any more for you. And he got the protocol and got on it, and he got lucky. It worked for him.
Those chemotherapy drugs are some serious moneymakers, so if they can convince people to take them, you know, that's a bonus.
It's like shooting fish in a barrel. These people, these poor people, they're so desperate, they're afraid, they're in fear, they don't understand, they don't really know how to advocate for themselves.
It's going to be quite a shock to be given a diagnosis of stage 4 cancer out of the blue.
Or CJD.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. All right. Well, that was another eye opener. Anything to tag on to this before we say goodbye?
No. That's again. It's. None of it's shocking at this point. You know, we've now witnessed it for the better part of 3 years.
Thoroughly disgusting.
And it doesn't seem to be any end in sight. Although, you know, that Ninth Circuit Court that determined that the, you know, these injections did not meet the definition of a vaccine is apparently going to open that up for some lawsuits. I know the nutty ninth,
as they call it, did something good there. That was
Kansas just filed a lawsuit against Pfizer for deceptive or misleading
advertising.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. It's only a civil case, so it doesn't have a lot of teeth.
Right.
But it's
all
something.
Right. Good night. Take care.
Okay. Thanks,
Talk
Jeff.
Soon.
Good night, everyone.
Okay. And we'll be right back. Hang on.